God's Word, please turn to the book of Psalm 36. Psalm 36 and wait for me there. Psalm 36 and wait for me there. And I'm glad it's all real tonight. I'm glad that this is not some figment of the imagination. I'm glad this is not some fairy tale. I'm glad Jesus Christ is alive and doing well. Our God's on the throne. He's in control. And one day we're going to see Him face to face. I'm glad it's real tonight, aren't you? I mean, one day we're going to see Him. Think about it. I mean, think about that thought. One day we're going to see Jesus Christ. See Him as He is, in all of His glory, in all of His honor. And what a day that will be. Amen. Let's pray together. I'm starting a sermon tonight. You've noticed lately that I start a lot of sermons, and I finish it later. I did a word study a while ago. I've never preached this before, but I feel God directed me in this direction tonight. Let's pray together. We'll share a thought with you. Our Father, we love You tonight. We thank You for Your goodness to us. And I thank You for who You are. We praise You for Your goodness in our lives. We praise You for what You've already done for us. We praise You for what You're in the process of doing. We praise You for what You're going to do one of these days. When You glorify our bodies just like Yours, I pray, God, that You'll draw close to us this evening. No doubt this is the message for this hour. Help me to preach it with power. May Thy will be done. Help me to preach with compassion, with clarity, and Lord, with conviction, I pray. Help us now. I beg of You, forgive my sins. Make Yourself a little bit more real to us tonight. Would you tabernacle among us, we beg of You. Forgive me for anything that's hindering You, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to begin a message tonight that I've simply entitled, Precious Things. Precious Things. You know, if I were to pass out a sheet of paper tonight and had you write down some things in your life that you would consider to be precious, I wonder what you'd write down. And what we mean are things that are valuable. Things that are excellent, things that are prized or good or honored or esteemed or dear or esteemed of highest degree. And I wonder if we took a few moments, I'm not going to do this, but if we took a few moments, no doubt people would be standing up everywhere and say, I tell you, family's precious to me, or friends are precious to me, or health or home or my mate or my children. And while all these things are true, what I want to do is forget what we think are precious. And let's turn to God's Word. And let's begin a message tonight on things that God says are precious. You know, there are a number of things in God's Word that God says these things are precious. These things are highly esteemed. These things are honorable. These things are valuable. These things are excellent or prized or good. And what we want to do is start in Psalm 36. And we're going to start plowing through the Word of God. I'll probably only get through three of them tonight, but what a three-way to start here. Three things that in God's Word, God says these things are precious. What's the first thing? In Psalm 36, look at verse number 7. How excellent is Thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of Thy wings. Now the word excellent there can also mean precious. In other words, he's saying, how precious is Thy loving kindness, O God. Now in this psalm, I want to skip back to verse number 1 and read it down through verse number 7. Actually, yes, verse number 7. The Bible says, the transgression of the wicked saith within my heart that there's no fear of God before his eyes. For he flattereth himself in his own eyes until his iniquity be found to be hateful. The words of his mouth are iniquity and deceit. He hath left off to be wise and to do no good. He deviseth mischief upon his bed. He setteth himself in a way that is not good. He abhorreth not evil. Thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens. Thy faithfulness reacheth unto the clouds. Thy righteousness is like the great mountains. Thy judgments are a great deep. O Lord, Thou preservest man and beast. How excellent is Thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of Thy wings. See, in context here, we see that the psalmist is speaking to the Lord and telling Him how excellent, how precious His loving kindness. That word loving kindness means His favor, His goodness, His mercy. And may I say something to you, that His mercy is precious tonight.
His loving kindness is precious tonight. And it's interesting here that in verse 1, he's talking in context of people. They don't fear God. In verse 2, they flatter themselves. In verse 3, they speak iniquity and deceit. And in verse 4, he even loves evil. Yet in the midst of wickedness, God is merciful. And that is a precious thing. Every one of us are wicked by our nature. Every one of us are sinners. Every one of us have been in verses 1 through 4. Every one of us have had times in our life when we did not fear God and we flattered ourselves and we spoke iniquity and deceit and we even loved evil. But God in His mercy has stepped down and He has saved us from hell. That is precious tonight, folks. It is precious to have God's mercy to show and manifest itself to wicked sinners such as you and I. What a precious thing, God's loving kindness. Somebody said king's regalia are a beggarly collection of worthless pebbles when compared with the tender mercies of Jehovah. David couldn't estimate it. Therefore, after putting a note of admiration, he left it to our hearts and imagination. And better still, our experience to fill up the rest. He simply said, how excellent, how precious are thy loving kindnesses to us. Because God is merciful to sinners, the rest of the psalm is true. Because God is merciful in the midst of wickedness, He says, therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. Now, what in the world does that mean? You know, it's a picture here that the psalmist is painting for us. The word signifies to fly or to betake oneself to a place of safety. As the chickens in danger to be seized on, fly under the wings of the hen, or as the helpless bird pursued by the kite, in danger to be devoured, runs to the protection of its mother. Thus it is with a sinner, that at the first working of faith, he apprehends himself pursued by wrath and pursued by judgment. And he knows if the wrath and judgment of Almighty God seizes upon him, that he will perish without remedy. But in the midst of us being looked down upon and wrath overhanging us and hell overhanging us, all of a sudden Jesus Christ, who is rich in loving kindness and rich in mercy, through the gospel of Jesus Christ says, run to me and I'll protect you. And we as God's children start running and we take cover under the shadow of his wings. Why are the wings there in the first place? Because of his mercy, his grace, his loving kindness. And in the midst when we deserve hell, David said, your loving kindness is precious. It's precious. The mercy of God. Where would you and I be without God's mercy? Where would you be without God's grace? Where would we be without the loving kindnesses of our Heavenly Father? I tell you what we'd be. We'd be burning in hell. But he is rich in mercy. And that's a precious thing. Psalm 17:8, hide me under the shadow of thy wings. Psalm 91:4, he shall cover thee with his feathers. And under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. He says in verse number 7, because in the midst of wickedness that his loving kindness is excellent. His mercy is precious. We can trust under the shadow of his wings. And then he goes on in verse 8, they shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house. Thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasures. For with thee is the fountain of life. In thy light shall we see light. Oh, continue thy loving kindness unto them that know thee, and thy righteousness to the upright in heart. Let not the foot of pride come against me. Let not the hand of the wicked remove me. There are the workers of iniquity fallen. They are cast down and shall not be able to rise. David saying, listen, God's mercy has changed my life. God's mercy is precious. It's excellent to me because I realize that there's wickedness around me. And God, don't let pride take a hold of me. Help me always see where I was and where I still would be without the mercy of Almighty God. God's mercy, his loving kindness is precious. It's precious. Amen. It's precious tonight. Then there's a second thing I want you to see. Flip over to the book of Psalm 49. Psalm 49. We're just going to start here in Psalm 36 and then just start proceeding through the book of Revelation. But look at Psalm 49, let's notice the second thing that God says is precious. Not only his loving kindness, but secondly, look at Psalm 49 and verse number 8. For the redemption of their soul is precious, and it ceaseth forever. Now in context, I want to back up here and start with verse number 6. They that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother nor give to God a ransom for him. For the redemption of their soul is precious, and it ceaseth forever. And he should still live forever and not see corruption. For he seeth that wise men die, likewise the fool and the brutish person perish and leave their wealth to others. Their inward thought is that their houses shall continue forever and their dwelling places to all generations. They call their lands after their own names. Nevertheless, man being in honor abideth not. He's like the beasts that perish. This their way is their folly, yet their posterity approve their saying, Selah. Like sheep they are laid in the grave. Death shall feed on them, and the upright shall have dominion over them in the morning, and their beauty shall consume in the grave from their dwelling. But God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave. He shall receive me, Selah. Be not thou afraid when one is made rich, when the glory of his house is increased. For when he dieth, he shall carry nothing away. His glory shall not descend after him. Though while he lived, he blessed his soul, and men will praise him. When thou doest well to thyself, he shall go to the generation of his fathers. They shall never see light. Man that is in honor and understandeth not is like the beasts that perish. What a powerful portion of Scripture. Powerful portion of Scripture. See, in context, we see people with riches depending upon their riches as their portion and as their happiness, and expect that they will secure them from all evil and supply them with all good, and they need nothing else, including God. Yet God tells us here he doesn't value their riches. One man's riches will not be a ransom for another man's life. And ultimately his soul, God's saying you can't bribe death, you can't bribe the grave, you can't bribe eternity. The redemption of the soul is precious. Everlasting life is a jewel of too great a value to be purchased by the wealth of this world. It's precious tonight. Verse 8, for the redemption of their soul is precious. It is of too high a price to be redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold, and has required the sweet, precious sacrifice of Jesus Christ himself. And I'm telling you tonight that it's too great a price. You can't get it any other way. It's only by the blood of Jesus Christ. It is a precious purchase. And forever, I'm talking about the attempt to redeem a soul with money will forever remain a failure. Because death comes and wealth cannot bribe him. Hell follows and no golden key can unlock its dungeon. Vain are the threatenings of somebody who tries to bribe God for his soul. God's saying, listen, I am not interested in your money. You can't get it any other way than the way I've purchased it, and that is giving my own son for you. The redemption of the soul is precious. And the Bible says it ceaseth forever. Now, nobody knows exactly what that means, but there's two ideas, and either one of them could be right. And by the way, both of these are true, whether they're right here or not. The first idea here is that wealth forever comes short of accomplishing what the soul needs. Money cannot buy redemption. And there are people around the world who are trying to do that today. There are people around the world who are trying to earn redemption. You can't earn redemption. It's a gift. Amen. All you've got to do is receive it and accept it. And there's no hope that it will ever be sufficient by any means or any increase in the amount or by any change in the conditions of the bargain. Property or riches will never avail to get somebody from here to there. It ceaseth forever. Or it could mean, I'm talking about it ceaseth forever. It could mean the price being once paid has ceased forever, which means it'll never be repeated again. Now this is found in Hebrews chapter 9. You don't need to turn to it. Hebrews chapter 9 verse 25. Nor yet that he should offer himself often
as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him he shall appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Then in Hebrews 10:12 it says, but this man, talking about Jesus, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. See, number one, God's saying, let me tell you the first thing that's precious. The first thing that's precious is my mercy in the midst of a wicked world. The second thing is the redemption of the soul. You can't buy it. You can't purchase it. My son died for it. It is a precious thing. And if you're redeemed tonight, it's precious, isn't it? Amen. You can't earn it. You can't buy it. It's precious. I'm getting blessed with this right here, and I'm telling you. I'm talking about things that God says are precious. His loving kindness. Number two, the redemption of the soul. Number three, I want to be a blessing to you here. Flip over to Psalm 116. Psalm 116, verse 15. Psalm 116, verse 15. God's loving kindness in context in wickedness. We were all wicked before we came to the Lord, and because he's rich in mercy, his mercy is precious, he gave us an extended hand, and he's redeemed our soul. Precious. Third thing he says is precious is Psalm 116:15. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. That's a blessing, isn't it? Think about that. Have y'all have somebody who is saved, they're already with the Lord? Would you raise your hand? You have somebody like that? You know what God says about that? What happened to them? It's precious. Now, it's not precious to see them go through some things. And it's not precious to see people hurt. And it's not precious to see a loved one suffer. But God says, the death of my saints, it's precious. Now, I want to slow down. I'll be honest, I was over in Brother Gary's Sunday school class, kind of rehearsing this message, and God began to speak to my heart, thinking about those who've gone before and how God says, hey, I know it hurts. I know it hurts. I know it hurts. And in your eyes, it's a loss. But in my eyes, it's precious. Stay with me here. The death of saints is precious in the Lord's sight. Could it be because they're taken from the evil to come? Could it be that they're delivered from the burden of the flesh? Could it be because they're ransomed by the blood of the Redeemer? Could it be that they're his purchased possession and now he's receiving them unto himself? Sin and sorrow forever cease. There's no more death. The death of Christ is their redemption. Thursday, December the 21st, 1899, after cutting short a Kansas City crusade and returning home in ill health, D.L. Moody told his family, I'm not discouraged. I want to live as long as I'm useful. But when my work is done, I want to be up and off. The next day, Moody awakened after a restless night, and in careful, measured words, he started saying, earth recedes. Heaven opens before me. His son, Will, concluded that his father must be dreaming. But D.L. Moody heard his son and said, no, this is no dream, Will. It's beautiful. It's like a trance. If this is death, it is sweet. There's no valley here. God is calling me. I must go. The death of a saint is precious because it opens the door to glory land. A young soldier, while dying very happily, broke out in singing the following stanza. Great Jehovah, we adore thee, God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit, joined in glory on the same eternal throne.
endless praise to Jehovah, three in one. The chaplain didn't ask if he had any message to send his friends. Yes, he said. Tell my father I've tried to eat my meals with thanksgiving. Tell him that Christ is now all my hope, all my trust, and that he's precious to my soul. Tell him I'm not afraid to die, all is calm. Tell him I believe Christ will take me to himself and to my dear sister who's in heaven. The voice of the dying boy faltered in the intervals between these precious sentences. And when the hymn commencing, Nearer My God to Thee, was read to him at the end of each stanza, he exclaimed with striking energy, O Lord Jesus, Thou art coming nearer to me. At the end of each stanza of the hymn that they also read to him, just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. And that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. This dying soldier exclaimed, I come, O Lamb of God, I come. And speaking again of his friends, he said, Tell my father that I died happy. His last words were, Father, I'm coming to thee. And then that Christian soldier sweetly and calmly fell asleep in the Lord Jesus Christ. I read a story. I've told you this before. It's been a long time. I'm going to tell you again. There was a story about a 5-year-old African-American boy. This true story who will never be forgotten by those who knew him. A nurse with whom this person worked took care of this little boy during the latter days of his life. This boy was dying of lung cancer. He's only 5 years old. It's a terrifying disease in its final stage. Because the lung fills with fluid and the patient's unable to breathe, and it's terribly claustrophobic, especially for a small child. This little boy had a Christian mother who loved him, stayed by his side through the long ordeal. She cradled him on her lap and talked softly about the Lord. The woman was preparing her son for the final hours to come. And the nurse told that when she entered his room one day and death was approaching, as she heard this little 5-year-old boy talking about hearing bells, he kept saying, The bells are ringing, Mommy. I can hear them. The nurse thought he was hallucinating, and because he had already started to slip away. She left and returned a few minutes later and again heard him talking about hearing bells ringing. The nurse said to his mom, said, I'm sure you know your baby's hearing things that aren't there. He's hallucinating because of his sickness. The mother pulled her son closer to her chest, smiled and said, No. Said, he's not hallucinating. She said, I told him when he was frightened. And when he couldn't breathe, if he had listened carefully, he could hear the bells of heaven ringing for him. And that's what he's been talking about all day long. That precious child died on his mother's lap later that evening, and he was still talking about the bells ringing for him. That's not precious to see something like that happen. God said when that little boy took his last breath, that was a precious thing to me. Because I received him unto myself. You've heard the hymn writer Fanny Crosby. She gave us more than 6,000 gospel songs. And although she was blinded by an illness, at a very, very early age, she never became bitter. One time a preacher sympathetically remarked, I think it's a great pity that the Master didn't give you sight when he showered so many other gifts upon you. She quickly replied, Do you know that if at birth I'd been able to make one petition, it would have been that I should be born blind? The man said, Why? And she said, Because when I get to heaven, the first face that shall ever gladden my sight will be that of my Savior. One of Miss Crosby's hymns was so personal that for years she kept it to herself. Kenneth Osbeck, author of several books on hymnology, says its revelation to the public came about this way. One day at the Bible conference in Northfield, Massachusetts, Miss Crosby was asked by D.L. Moody, "What would you like to have been in that meeting?" To give a personal testimony. And at first she hesitated, then quietly arose and said, "There's one hymn I've written that's never been published." She said, "I call it my soul's poem. Sometimes when I'm troubled, I repeat it to myself, for it brings comfort to my heart." And then she began to recite while many wept. She began to recite while so many people wept these words: "Someday the silver cord will break, and I no more as now shall sing. But oh, the joy when I shall wake within the palace of the King. Someday my earthly house will fall. I cannot tell how soon 'twill be. But this I know, my all in all has now a place in heaven for me. Someday when fades the golden sun beneath the rosy tinted west, my blessed Lord will say, 'Well done,' and I shall enter into rest. Someday till then I'll watch and wait, my lamp all trimmed and burning bright. When my Savior opes the gate, my soul to Him will take its flight. I shall see Him face to face and tell the story saved by grace. And I shall see Him face to face and tell the story saved by grace." No wonder Philippians 1:21 says, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Recently, we've had quite a few deaths in our church. There are some of you here tonight, you've lost the dearest on earth to you. I'm glad to announce to you that what's happened is precious in the Lord's sight. And could it be that it's precious because He knows it's not the end? If this was it, no wonder Paul would say, "We're of all men most miserable." But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them which slept. And since He's alive, they are too. And one day, the Bible says, Christ will descend with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be called up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Amen. I'm glad that those that I know, my dear loved ones, I've got two granddaddies over there. I've got a grandmother over there. I've got great grandparents over there. I've got some uncles over there. I'm still here, but I know one day I will see them again. Amen. That's precious. That's precious. That's precious tonight. It is precious that God says the death of my saints, it's not a sad thing, it's a precious thing. Because they're only coming to see me. Let me ask you a question. Do you think your loved one would come back? Do you? I don't think so. And when you get there, you'll understand why. Amen. There waits for me a glad tomorrow, where gates swing open wide, and when I've passed this veil of sorrow, I'll dwell upon the other side. Someday I'll hear the angels singing beyond the shadows of the tomb, and all the bells of heaven ringing while saints are singing, home sweet home. Someday my labors will be ended and all my wanderings will be o'er, and all earth's broken ties be mended, and I shall sigh and weep no more. Someday the dark clouds will be rifted and all the night of gloom be past, and all life's burdens will be lifted. The day of rest shall dawn at last. Someday, beyond the reach of mortal ken, someday God only knows just where and when, the wheels of mortal life shall all stand still, and I shall go to dwell on Zion's hill. And may God encourage us as we've only just begun. Only just begun with these things that he says are precious. Number one, in the midst of wickedness, there's a voice of mercy calling out, come to me and I'll never cast you out. If you don't come to me, it's hell, it's judgment, but you run under my wings and I'll protect you. My mercy is precious. The redemption of the soul is precious. You can't buy it. You can't buy off death. The only way you can make it is come through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, because the redemption of your soul is precious. And because of all of that, the death of a saint is a precious thing in God's sight. One day we're going to see him again, not because of them, but because of him. And may we rest in this. May we rest in it. Rest in it. Rest in it. Precious. 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 Let's all bow our heads together, please. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Our Father God, we thank you for what we've just begun here. We thank you for the things that you tell us in your word are precious. I pray that you've helped this message to be a revealing thing to those. Help it to be a comforting thing to others. A challenging thing to others. Father, help us, I beg of you. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. They're beginning to play through softly. Is it possible that somebody has come under the sound of my voice, but you've never come under the wings of Almighty God? May I remind you that if it wasn't for the grace of Almighty God and the precious mercy of Almighty God, may I remind you tonight that you are under the judgment and condemnation of God. But he who is rich in mercy and rich in grace, and he has precious mercy upon you, is calling out and saying, his son died for you. Will you come to him? Will you come to him? See, his mercy is precious. But it's really only precious to you if you allow it to work in your life. Is there somebody tonight, say, Jody, if I die tonight, I have a concern in my heart that I do not know the Lord. I believe that if I die tonight, I am under condemnation. Now see, there's only one of two people listening to me. Those who are condemned, who have never been saved, or those who have been converted by the grace of Almighty God. Those are the only two kind of people. If you're sitting here tonight and you say, Jody, I'm not sure that I'm saved. I need that precious mercy of God. I don't want to suffer his wrath and burn in hell forever. I'm not going to come to your seat. We'll not call you out. But if that's you, you say, Jody, pray for me. Would you raise your hand, put it right back down? Anybody like that? You say, Jody, pray for me. I need this mercy that's precious. I need this grace that's precious. Would you pray for me? We're not going to come to your seat, I promise you that, but we would like to pray for you. Anybody like that? Would you raise your hand, put it right back down? Anybody at all? Let me ask you this. Have you all needed the thought on the death of a saint? Maybe you've just recently lost somebody, or maybe you lost somebody a long time ago, but it's still bothering you, it's still hurting you. And maybe God had you in mind when he calls me to preach this message tonight, and you say, Jody, God's speaking to me on the death of a saint. I needed that. I needed it. Would you be honest? Would you raise your hand all over this auditorium? You say, this is what I needed. Yes, yes, yes. Good, good, good. Let's all stand together, please. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Our Father God, would you take it, use it, break it in a mighty way, help people to respond. In Jesus' name, your heads,
Your head's bowed, your eyes are closed. Brother Gary's singing, if God is speaking to you, would you leave your place now and would you come? If you're lost tonight, not sure, now's your time. Would you come? Let us take a Bible, share it with you. As Brother Gary sings,
my
would you come?
Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine.
I'd come on.
For thee,
these things are precious.
Follies of sin, I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior art thou. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now.
If you're still staying, I'd like you to look this way. I appreciate it when the Lord speaks to me. That's mercy and grace there, you know. He doesn't have to speak to me, but He does. None of us are doing everything we can for Him. We can all do more, can't we? Amen. Yeah. Every one of us. Every one of us. He's been good to us. Just think about His mercy. Is that not enough? I mean, folks, we close the Bible and go home after that. What about His redemption? He's bought you. He's redeemed you. What about a saint that falls asleep to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord? We've only just started. It may take me a year to get through this. I don't know. That'd be all right. God's dealing. He's dealing. And we appreciate that. We appreciate it. Aren't you glad you're going to see your loved one again? Aren't you glad of that? It's only through the blood of Jesus. What number is that, Brother Gary?
174.
Take your hymnal, turn to 174. Let's sing the last verse. I'm going to turn it over to the preacher right after this. Let's sing it to the Lord.
In mansions of glory. In mansions of glory and endless delight, I'll ever adore thee in heaven so bright. I'll sing with a glittering crown on my brow. If
okay, thank you very much, Brother Jody. Precious things. I mean, the Bible's full of precious things. You will be a long time preached on all those precious things. I appreciate that. And folks, let's do now. Next Sunday, bus captain, I'm just thinking, it's going to take each bus captain to have 10 more on your bus route to have 250 next Sunday. Now go out and shake the bushes and get other people helping you. And let's have, thank you very much. Anybody do anything, get attention, won't they? I appreciate Carol. Okay. You have anything else you want to say, Carol? That'll do it. That'll do it. Okay, fine. That's good. That's good. Now, really, bus captain and Sunday school teachers and superintendent, let's call everybody on roll. Let's make some visits because we got a great man of God going to preach next Sunday. I want to see people saved and people getting right with the Lord. So let's bow our heads for just a minute. Just bow our heads and we'll be through. And better to go home. How many will say, preacher, I'll either call somebody or see somebody and ask somebody that's unsaved or unchurched, needs the Lord some way, needs to get back in church, maybe saving out of church. But I'll make a contact this week. I'd like to see 100 people raise hands and say, I'll do that. And let's raise your hand. If you make one contact for Jesus this week, raise your hand. Raise your hand. Well, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this great day and the great message this morning. And then tonight, this great message on precious things. And it's good to meet together as your people. Lord, give us a great day next Sunday. May our people, may the bus captains work, teachers work, superintendents. And may all of us, Lord, try to invite people to come next Sunday morning and hear this great man of God. Give us a great conference. Breathe upon us, we pray. Dismiss us now with thy blessing. In Jesus' name we pray. Good night. God bless you.